You are invited to the 65th Annual Bethany Baptist Church Spiritual Revival and Missions Conference on August 3rd and August 5th through the 10th. Our keynote speaker will be Reverend Alan Parr Jr., creator of the YouTube ministry The Beat, which stands for Biblical Encouragement and Truth. Plan to join us and be blessed by the Word of God, uplifting praise and worship, and awesome missionary testimonies. We know that you will be encouraged in your faith. For information, visit the Bethany Baptist Church website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org, or call the church office at 412-242-3255. Thank you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Hell, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Hell, Part 2.
All right, let's pick up our lesson from last time. And we were talking about a subject that is not very popular. People don't like to talk about it. I was watching, and I would encourage you guys, if you have access to the internet, that you would follow Alan Parr. Alan is doing... You know what, he's doing a great work, and thank God for what he's doing. And he was doing something on false teachers, and one of the things that he talked about was one of the false teachers had a false teaching about hell, and he dealt with that. So if you follow Alan Parr, it's The Beat that Alan's the name of Alan's website program is The Beat, and he tackles some tough issues, and so I would really encourage you to follow him, to get on his I think just about every week he sends out a email about a new video that he's put out. Last week he did a very interesting video. He did an interview with Priscilla Shire, Tony Evans' daughter, and it was very insightful. So, again, I would encourage you, he's a good person to follow. But I was watching his video he did on, he did one on false teachers, and there was a guy on there talking about hell, and actually he was saying that hell is not real. And so, this stuff is out there. And, as we tackle it, we're tackling subjects that people are refusing to accept. So I'm not going to go over all that I went over last week, but we talked about some misconceptions of hell. And that is, it's right here on earth. All my friends will be there. It's a place controlled by a man with a red suit carrying a pitchfork, with pointed ears and sporting a goatee. It's a place for extremely wicked people. And then we talked about, because people don't want to accept the reality of hell, they've come up with different theories. And so you have these theories in your notes. The same set of notes that we sent out last week are the same ones that you got today. So if you say, well, I saw this somewhere last week. Well, it's the same set of notes. We're just going to pick up with the second part of it. And so we look at things that they use to explain hell away, universalism, which says in the end, everybody's going to be saved. There's annihilationism, which says that everybody will be destroyed. I mean, well, the people that are not saved, they'll be destroyed. And so that they won't have to go to hell because they'll be completely annihilated. We talk about purgatorialism, which says that you go somewhere, pay for your sins, and then you go to heaven. And then there was conditionalism that basically says people will pay for their sins and then eventually be destroyed. So, you know, these are things that people come up with to deny the reality of hell and to try to explain it away. We looked at last week the purpose of hell. It's a place where people go who don't want to be with God. And we said the atheist, the heathen, and the natural man, they don't want to be with God. It's a place where people go to pay for their sins. It's a place that was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for human occupation. It was created for the devil and his angels. And then we looked at the different designations for hell: Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, the lake of fire. And let me just stop there on that lake of fire again and say that I've been accused. Pastor Glaze has been accused of not believing in the lake of fire. Somebody said that, well, have you ever heard Pastor teach on the lake of fire, that he don't believe in the lake of fire? Well, I'm saying right here, what you have is a chapter out of a book that I wrote on prophecy. And right here, I'm saying that one of the designations for hell is the lake of fire. All right. So you heard it here. So if anybody tells you that Pastor Glaze don't believe in the lake of fire, you got the notes and you can take them right to this place and show them that he does teach that there is a lake of fire. The bottomless pit, purgatory, Abraham's bosom, and Hades. You know, Hades would be that place of designation for hell. Now look at this. Here's where we will, I think that, okay, yeah, we'll pick up right here. Now, this is a diagram that I put together. All right. And I'm going to spend not a whole lot of time, but let's look at a little time as we look at the underworld. You know, what is the underworld like, right? According to the Bible, you can look at movies and they have all different kind of depictions. You know, you can read in mythology and there's all kind of depictions. But what does the underworld look like? And so that's what we want to look at here. All right. First of all, you see right there the grave where it says RIP, rest in peace. Sadly, some people will not rest in peace. But that's, you know, when people die, we had one of our one of the older members of our church. I'm not going to say the oldest. I think we got some out there that might be older. Sister Bertie Bragg, she went home to be with the Lord. Lifelong member of Bethany Baptist Church. Faithful attender. Even up until I believe I saw her in church a couple weeks ago. She was in church with her niece, and so she went home to be with the Lord. And so, you know, where is her body going to go? You know, her body will go to the grave. All right. And, you know, we already looked at this whole idea that the grave in the Old Testament was also referred to Sheol. And even in the New Testament is referred to Hades. So, you know, we said that the grave could in the Old Testament was Sheol, because remember David said, you know, Lord, don't leave my body in Sheol, in the grave. Right. And so these are two designations for the grave. All right. Now, they also are two designations. So I'm going to say this, too. They are also two designations for hell. So, you know, here's where words can have a double meaning. And how do you determine what the meaning is? Well, you determine the meaning by the context, you know, whatever the context is. So the grave. I mean, Sheol can mean the grave or it can mean hell. Hades can mean the grave or it can mean hell. Okay, so a lot of times in the Old Testament, when the saints talked about dying, they talked about going to Sheol. So that was not necessarily mean they were going to hell, even though it could have meant that. That didn't necessarily mean they were going to hell, but what it meant was is that they were going to the grave, all right? That their bodies were going to the grave, all right? So now, once you go to the grave, this is the Old Testament concept, right? In the New Testament, oh man, I wish I had time to teach this thing. In the New Testament, well, let me go ahead and do this. In the Old Testament, people, when they died, their body went to the grave and their soul either went to paradise or it went to Hades, right? So when a person died in the Old Testament, their body went to Sheol or Hades, the grave, and their soul went to paradise, or another word is Abraham's bosom. Okay, and this was a place of comfort, all right? The unsaved or the unrighteous, they went to Hades. So again, here's where you see the word Hades could mean the grave or it could mean hell, all right? So in Luke 16, it actually meant hell, all right? The rich man, when he died, he went to Hades. He went to a place of torment. And you remember that it says that he lifted up his eyes, you know, being in torment, and he asked Abraham, you know, to send somebody to dip their finger in water and drop it on his tongue because he was tormented in the flame. And Abraham was in a place of comfort. He was in a place of peace. And remember, the scripture says that between these two places is a great gulf fixed, right? There's a great degree of separation between paradise and Hades, right? And so Abraham said so that those who want to go from paradise to Hades can't go, and those who want to go from Hades to paradise can't go. So you know, once you die, you are locked in. Wherever, you know, if you were a righteous person, if you knew Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that when you die, you actually go to the place of paradise or Abraham's bosom in the Old Testament, right? In the Old Testament. And then if you died apart from Christ, you went to Hades, and that there was a great gulf fixed between the two. Now, many people believe that when Jesus died on the cross, remember it said in Ephesians that he went into the lower parts of the earth and he led captivity captive. And so many people believe that when Jesus died and rose again, and for those 3 days when he, now some people, I wish I had time to teach this thing. Some people believe that when Jesus died on the cross, that wasn't good enough to pay for our sins, and that he actually had to go to hell to continue to pay for our sins, and that he went to hell and Satan tormented him, Satan tortured him, Satan beat him up, and that's where Jesus finished paying on the cross for our sins. My friends, reject that doctrine. Reject that doctrine that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And then the song, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. That's where Jesus paid for our sins. He didn't have to go to hell to pay for our sins. He paid for our sins on the cross. That's it. That's it. He didn't need to go any further. Now, many, many theologians believe that those 3 days, that what Jesus did, that he went to paradise and he preached to the souls in paradise. And then when he ascended, oh, hallelujah, when he ascended back to heaven, remember in Acts 1:8, when the disciples stood around and Jesus said, he went up into the sky and the angel said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you in like manner, will come again, right? Amen. Hey, I'm getting excited here. Oh man, I'm getting excited. But many people believe, you see where it says paradise in Abraham's bosom? That's when the Old Testament saints went to heaven. Before that, they didn't go directly to heaven. They went to this place called Abraham's bosom. And then when Jesus rose and ascended, that he went to paradise and he took Abraham and David and all those righteous saints, he took them into heaven at that time. So that's this theory right here. So as we continue to look at the underworld, now we see the rest of the underworld is not good. You know, the rest of it is not good. We see that there is the lake of fire. All right. And this is a fire that burns forever and ever and ever. And a little bit later, we're going to talk about, you know, who's going to be in this lake of fire. And then we see a bottomless pit. So in the underworld, there's not only Hades, right, but there's the lake of fire and there's the bottomless pit that, you know, people, and I'm going to talk about that in a second too. And then there's this place called Tartarus, you know, which even outside of the Bible, you know, some other books reference this place called Tartarus. All right. So, and it, even I did define it all back up here. Okay. You know, we talked about Tartarus, that it was the lowest place in the underworld. Peter talked about this in 2 Peter 2:4. The lake of fire was a term used to designate a place of consuming fire. And then the bottomless pit. John describes a bottomless pit filled with smoke and darkness. Some Bible scholars believe the bottomless pit and Tartarus are the same place, while others see them as two different places. So if you know, don't look to mythology, you know, don't look to the movies, but here is a good depiction of what the underworld looks like right here. The grave, and then you have so probably paradise is no more, right? Because Jesus emptied out paradise whenever he took those Old Testament saints back to heaven. So paradise is probably empty. But you know, Hades, then the lake of fire, the bottomless pit, and then this place called Tartarus. So that's what the underworld looks like according to the Bible, according to scriptures. Let's look at some characteristics of hell. Now, let me read this introductory paragraph as we look at characteristics of hell. Some believe that the descriptions of hell described below are not literal. Even though this can be debated, the fact of the matter is, now watch this now, saints, watch this, that whether they are literal or figurative, those who are there experience the torment in a way never known on this earth. Even if the Bible is using figurative symbolic symbols to describe hell, somebody said this, I believe it was R.C. Sproul. He said this, the reality is worse than the symbol, right? So if it's real or if it's figurative, you know, I have a tendency to lean toward the belief that is real, but there are many theologians that believe that hell is symbolic, is figurative. So the fact is, whether it's real or it's symbolic, as the quote says, the reality is worse than the symbol. So whatever symbol is used for hell that we're going to talk about, the reality is a lot worse. So the fact of the matter is, I don't want to go there. All right. It's a place of helplessness. Can you know, have you ever had a helpless feeling where, you know, you just felt like you had no control over your situation, that you were at the whims and desires of somebody else, and you know, or you were in trouble and you were helpless? I remember one time, and I think I've shared this testimony before, that I almost drowned. And you talking about a helpless feeling, just fighting that water. And, you know, I fought that water, and, you know, thank God that there was somebody there who was able to get me. Now, the thing is that I was fighting. And so the person that came and got me had to wait till I didn't have any more fight in me. And once the fight was out, then they came and took me and put me up on the side. And, you know, I was spitting up water and everything else. But, you know, when you're drowning, I don't know if you've ever had that experience before. Hopefully not. When you're drowning, it's a helpless feeling. You know, can you imagine the endless feeling of being helpless and not being able to do anything about it? In Revelation 9, the Apostle John says that the fifth angel was given the key to the bottomless pit. The angel took the key and opened the bottomless pit. Many theologians term this bottomless pit as a reference to the unending expanse of hell. When we read of people being thrown into a pit here on earth, you know, there's a bottom to it, right? That eventually, if you're thrown into an earthly pit, you're going to hit rock bottom. But this pit right here, there's no bottom to it, the bottomless pit. And so many believe that John is using this to describe a everlasting free fall, a feeling of helplessness. And so that's one of the characteristics of hell. Another characteristic is eternal fire. In hell, and see, people don't want to think about this. You know, I mean, that's why, you know, hell is not a popular topic. And, you know, many people that write about hell, you know, try to explain it away. In hell, sinners will be burned by a fire that never goes out. Jesus said three times that hell is a place where the fire is not quenched. You know, in Mark chapter 9, 43 through 48, he said that three times. Now, keep in mind, let me go back here. Keep in mind that Jesus was probably making reference to this place called Gehenna. And again, Gehenna was a valley south of Jerusalem. It was a place of child sacrifice. And during the time of Jesus, it was a dump outside Jerusalem where people, it was a fire that burned. It didn't go out. And it was a place where people threw their garbage, dead animals, and sometimes even the bodies of criminals and burned them up. So that was Gehenna. The place, like I said, was like a garbage dump. All right. And so Jesus, using that as an example, Jesus said that hell is a place where the fire is not quenched. In Revelation 20:10, we read about a lake of fire and brimstone. This is descriptive. Which could lead one to conclude that hell is to be taken literally. Okay, it's a place where the worm does not die. You know, just think about how people freak out when bugs, you know, crawl on their body. You know, I know I hate flies landing on me, you know, or some other insect, not especially bees, right? I mean, we're terrified. We don't want bees to land on us. And people freak out when bugs, insects. Can you imagine the sensation of a bug crawling on you or worms eating at you and it doesn't die? You know, it's just a consistent gnawing, nagging away at your body. So Jesus said it's a place where the worm does not die. And so many again believe he might have been making reference to Gehenna also.
Joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Hell, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Hell, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Hell, Part 2 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Galaise and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.